And I think we're live. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Yeah. No, not yet.
Start now, Chad. You can start now.
Now.
Yeah, we're going, Chad. Great beginning, Chad. Nicely done.
Can we start yet?
Yes.
No. Good evening, everybody. My name is Chad Sherwood. Welcome back to the Hoops HD Report. We are recording this live on tape delay on November 28th, around a little before 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. To the sides of me here, we have both David Griggs and John Stalica down below, Matt Sikowski, John Titel back as well. Welcome, everybody. And we've got a lot to get through tonight, reviewing what's happened.
Real quick, I'd like to start off with a score update slash joke that just flashed across the screen. NC Central 45, Mizzou 35.
No, that's Mizzou 33. Oh, no, there it is, Mizzou 35. Yeah, 10-point game. I've got that on in the background here, in fact. It's a, another stellar performance by the Missouri Tigers, losing at home to the powerful North Carolina Central Eagles out of the MEAC.
And another reminder of just how shameful it would have been had Xavier dropped their opener to Missouri.
We do have a lot to get to. We want to recap all the events that happened this past week. There were a lot of exempt tournaments that took place. We've got a few other teams we want to discuss. We're going to be previewing games coming up this next week, including the balance of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Let me start with you, though, John Titel. You were not with us last week, but you did have, right before that, a chance to go to an event to the 2K Classic, and we never really got a report from you on it, other than we did post an article on the website. For those of you that miss it, go ahead and check it out. There's some photos and everything. But I want to start with you and your takeaway from that event and Michigan's performance there.
Sure. So my takeaway was that Michigan was the best team there. They won the title by beating Marquette the first night and SMU the second night. And I really thought that this was going to be the Wolverines' year. They have a ton of guys who can make threes. They got the B-line defense. They got multiple stars in Zach Irvin and Derek Walton Jr. They just seemed like a really powerful team that I was going to bank for the tourney. And then they come out and lay a freaking egg against South Carolina, which means that my conclusion is I don't know what to think about this green team.
Well, it's now a top 25 South Carolina team with the new rankings that came out this week. And David, before we go to the rest of the tournaments, actually, when we recorded our podcast last week, it was during the championship game of the Paradise Gym, which Creighton ended up winning. Creighton now 10th in the nation in the AP poll. Yes. Right where you expected them?
Not this early, but yes. No, I thought they would be in the top 10 going into mid-February, and then I think they're going to lose 6 of their last 9, and then I think they're going to lose in the round of 64.
Oh, so you're actually going to put them in the tournament at this point. I thought you were going to have them drop all
or miss it. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen this before, and it's a Greg McDermott thing, and it goes back to his days at Northern Iowa. And November is great. December is great. January is great. And then, like, about a week or two in the February, when he gets in the second half of conference play, it's suddenly – not great. So not great that they typically fall apart, and it doesn't even look like the same team. All
right, well, we'll see what happens this year, I guess. But on that note, I am going to be pulling up the screen here, and it should be coming up on the screen any second now. Hopefully we see it. This is right from our hoopshd.com website. If you go to the in-season tournaments tab, we have all the results of all the events. And the big one that started off this past week was the Maui Invitational. And Matt, let me bring you in here on the Maui. What was your takeaway from this event? There's a few upsets and a few, I think at the end of the day, I think we saw what we expected to see, though.
Yeah, I think if the NCAA tournament started today, North Carolina would be my pick to win it all, given how they've played so far, and their veteran experience, young talent, and just nice blend of everything. Other than that, kind of an underwhelming field, I think Wisconsin feels to me more like the 7 seed they were last year than, say, the projected 2-3 seed most people had them this year. Oklahoma State's been a nice surprise, would probably make the tournament if it starts today, and I think we'll be in the hunt for most of the year. And then Oregon needs to wake up soon, maybe that Georgetown game, and then escaping that Tennessee with a win, despite having to go to OT with a team that's going to be about 10th or 11th in the SEC.
Well, John T, before I go any further, you're the Power Pac-12 guy here. Oregon, are you disappointed with what they've done so far now? I mean, they did get 2 wins here out of Maui, at least.
They did, but one of them was by 4 points in overtime against a Tennessee team that is not even a top 100 team. Lost to Georgetown will hurt if Georgetown keeps going downward as they have been. And frankly, I think we can all agree a win over UConn is like a bad win these days, right?
Yeah. I am really, I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but surprised. This is a team that was thundering down the stretch last year. I think they won their last 11 or 12, finished in first in the Pac-12, won the Pac-12 tournament, got a one seed and advanced to the Elite Eight and brought their top six players back and then added some to that. And here they are, and it isn't just one or two bad games. Baylor's good, but they weren't even in the game against Baylor. And then to come out here, lose to Georgetown, sweat out Tennessee, and the only thing they really did was beat a bad UConn team. I'm more surprised than anything. And again, the tournament isn't starting today. It's still November. We're 3 weeks into an 18-week season, so still plenty left. But Oregon hasn't looked good at any point this year.
Now, if you remember what we said in the podcast 2 weeks ago, we also warned that UConn could get a win in Maui, but it would likely come against Chaminade. And sure enough, it came in the second wave of games.
Well, Sleek, let me throw this over to you. You're a history buff also. I think I was reading that North Carolina has won the Maui Invitational twice before, and both times they went on to win the national championship. You think they're going to make it 3-for-3?
Well, I think it's their last two trips because one was for the 2004 and 2005 season, and then the other one was, I want to say, 2009, 2010. Or no, it was 2008-09, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, let's go down here really quickly. David, let me throw this one over here, the Gulf Coast Showcase. The only major conference team in this event was Houston. They did win it in a good final over Vermont. Did we learn anything about Houston here, or was it just too weak of a field?
Too weak of a field, I think. I mean, I think we learned a little something about Vermont. That's more of an under-the-radar thing that you and I will be talking about. But it doesn't really change my impression of Houston at all. I think they're a program that's trending in the right way that will be a factor in the American, but that aren't quite there yet as far as being an NCAA tournament caliber team. I thought that before the season started. I still think that, and I'm right, as always.
We'll probably go into it a little bit more and under the radar, but it took a game-winning shot by Houston in order to secure the Gulf Coast Showcase Championship.
Yeah, I was actually more impressed with Vermont than Houston, even though Houston won.
Matt, the Legends Classic, obviously the host bracket, the four-team event here. We saw Northwestern come up with a very impressive win over Texas before falling to Notre Dame. Your thoughts coming out of this event?
In that Notre Dame, once again, looks like, even though I doubted many else did, I'm probably in pretty good shape now to trending toward a tournament bid and with this, maybe just need to go say 9-9 in the ACC. Another heartbreaker for Northwestern against a private school Indiana team. First Butler, now Notre Dame, and I think they're going to regret not having one of these come Selection Sunday. I think they're going to be pretty close, but that's who, like, they couple of teams they might be competing with, although now Butler following that Arizona win, that might not be that discussion at this point. But Notre Dame, that could be a bubble team they're competing with. And, hey, Notre Dame beat them head-to-head on a neutral court.
Yeah, David. I'm sorry, you want to talk about Northwestern? Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, not just this year, but every year. They're so close. I mean, they get close, but not close enough. And they play well against good teams, but don't quite beat them. And we're already seeing that again. And right now, early on, it looks like it might happen again. I predict Northwestern loses a close game to Wake because that's what they do.
As we record, this is the Northwestern-Wake Forest game. As you are watching this, you'll know that result already. John T., Texas goes 0-2 in this event. Is there cause for concern for this season and with the Longhorns?
There is, but I think that it is a fixable concern. They've been racked early on by, I think, injuries and suspensions. I think that this team is looking much forward to the future. I don't think this is going to be something where they're going to play Alabama and Michigan in early December and knock out these two power conference teams. Obviously, the Big 12 is going to be very tough this year, especially with these surprise teams like TCU that nobody thought would do anything. I think Texas is going to be struggle to make the NCAA tournament, but I would certainly not push the panic button after losing to a couple of top 50 teams back-to-back in Northwestern and Colorado at neutral sites.
Stalika, the next event up here, the Men Who Speak Up main event at the MGM Grand, and under the radars program, actually, Valparaiso knocking off BYU in the finals after they took out Alabama in the semifinals. You know, is this a Valpo team going to be teasing the top 25 soon?
I don't know about teasing the top 25, but the Crusaders certainly did everything they had to do in order to try to build their at-large profile. And let's not forget, they also had another revenge game against Ball State where they were kind of playing with fire for the first 20 minutes, but did manage to get a somewhat decent win against Ball State yesterday.
Right. And David, while we have BYU here, I was going to discuss it later, but let's bring them up right now. Losing in the finals this event and then turning around at home over the weekend and losing the not quite so holy war. Is that what we call it?
It was too intense.
It was absurd. Utah Valley has had some good teams. Back in the Great West days, they were probably the most successful program out of that short-lived but always loved conference. But for a team that limited its chances this year, that's just not good.
Yeah. This is 114-101, huge high-scoring game that they lost at home to the Wolverines. And Leah, as we discussed, I mean, a road trip to USC, a home game against Colorado, not much left in the calendar here, especially for a team that's only going to get a couple chances in conference play with the Zags and St. Mary's.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get both of those twice at least, and maybe a third time in the conference tournament. But this is normally a team that schedules way up out of conference. They didn't this year, but they made up for it by playing down to the competition that they did schedule.
All right, let's see here. Matt, why don't we go to you for the CBE Hall of Fame Classic, where Kansas had a decent little performance.
Yeah, a couple of nice wins for Kansas. I think Georgia gave them a pretty good game, and they could not guard Yante Madden, but unfortunately, the other half of Georgia's good duo, J.J. Frazier, couldn't hit a shot for the life of him, and that, I think, sunk Georgia from the potential upset there. Kansas looking solid. I still think they've totally clicked, even with a pretty good-looking resume. They're still not quite playing at the level I thought they were going into the year, but there's still time. I think it's like self-finding a rotation, and then even for the first time in his career, playing more four out and not his traditional two guards, wing, two forwards. He's been experimenting a lot with the four out lineup, and I think that's probably their best look.
Okay, so they're not playing as well as they can, and they've already beaten Duke and won this event.
Yeah.
You call them your national champion by saying that.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I have a high standard for them, and I think they're playing very well, but they're Elite Eight level, and to win the national title, they're going to have to go up a couple of steps, especially, say, look how Carolina's playing, assuming Duke gets their horses back, and even Kentucky's been a little better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, Chet, one more quick thing about this event. GW was a team we had a lot of questions about coming into the season. I no longer have a lot of questions.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the Cancun Challenge. The what's called the Riviera Division was the major conference teams. And John T., let me turn to you here. This Purdue team kind of rolling to the championship here.
Because you thought the Utah State and Auburn were going to be some serious competition? Come on, this is an attorney team. This is a Big Ten title contender. This is a team whose only loss is by 3 points to the defending champions. We'll see how they do at Louisville on Wednesday. That will be a true test. But I can't wait for the game on December 6th. Neutral site, Arizona State. What a barn burner that's going to be.
Wow, yeah. If anybody missed it, Arizona State gave a hell of a game out of the Bahamas this evening to Kentucky. Did they actually get doubled up, David, or not quite?
I don't know. I quit watching.
I think Lee Del Vecchio was saying that Arizona State players had family and co-eds to think about.
Yes.
David, let me stick with you here for a second. The Battle for Lens, this is one of the premier events every year. And your thoughts come away from this. I know we were very impressed after the opening night by Wichita State, who failed to win again after that, but we saw a lot of pretty good, a lot of good games here, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the whole tournament was exciting. Baylor, by far the best team. Louisville really had to sweat out Old Dominion. It looked like ODU was going to pull the upset. Then they went on to look really good against Wichita State, and then they looked outstanding against Baylor for the half, but it was the wrong half.
Yeah, and that was one of the most amazing games. I actually, watching the first half of that Baylor-Louisville game, my jaw was on the floor about how good Louisville looked. And watching the second half, I was the exact reverse about Baylor. It was an unbelievable comeback. And John T., how good is this Baylor team now?
They're fantastic, and it's early on, so I think there's room to improve. They bring in these new guys. I believe the pronunciation is Joe Luau Aquil. I know I'm going to mix it up. But when you're beating Oregon, VCU, Michigan State, Louisville, you're legit. Even their mid-major victories against tourney teams like Florida Gulf Coast, solid. Obviously, I'll defer to my Xavier guys, who's going to have the edge when they play on Saturday, but I think that's going to be a heck of a game as well.
Baylor has the slight edge.
Baylor has a slight edge for that game, but I think you also have to give credit to the Bears for taking advantage of these opportunities, because until Big 12 play comes along, this was going to be their only real major test away from home. I mean, they do have one other true road game against, I think it's Ole Miss as part of the Big 12 and SEC challenge in late January. But this will definitely be a very good midterm going into Big 12 play for Baylor.
And like the football team, they get out there and they schedule hard. Good for them.
Matt, this Michigan State team coming off of that somewhat controversial, although I think the NBA officials did get it right, win over Florida Gulf Coast, struggled with St. John's, a bad St. John's team, and lost to Louisville, and then beats Wichita State. Is Michigan State that good this year or not? I don't know that I've seen it on the court from them.
They're not that good yet. I will say this is something where I think there's enough for Izzo to work with, that especially given that Wichita State win. I think that's who's – and that gives me sides that say, okay, they might whatever, futz around, go in, so be like 5-6 seed going into the NCAAs. But I can see them where Izzo might have them play their best ball in March like usual and have them to be a fairly big threat. I think, yeah, as he develops freshmen, not just Bridges, but more the Langfords, the Cassius Winstons, the Nick Wards, who are talented but probably need a little time to mature. And in a perfect world, probably would be playing 15 minutes a night and not 25-30. But I think they grow up as the season goes along. And like I said, probably something like a 6-7 seed in the NCAAs. And you wouldn't want to be the, whatever, 2 or 3 seed playing them second round.
Well, they've already played Arizona. They've already played Kentucky. They've already played Baylor and Wichita State. They got Duke as their next game coming up here Tuesday night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. David, Tom Izzo came out and actually apologized for scheduling so hard. Do you think he should have?
Yeah. I do think that a team can overdo it. I'm not going to say that you should, that there isn't a ceiling or that there isn't a limit that you should cross. But I will say it's much better to do this than to underschedule, because even if your record isn't what you want it to be, and it's like, oh my God, we're 3-5, 4-6, and you're holding your nose, how many of these losses are really going to hurt them? Now, so what is alarming isn't so much who they've lost to, but who they've barely beaten. Like, nothing against Gulf Coast, but they're not really expected to be like in the top 25 in the bubble protected seed range. And here's Michigan State sweating them out at home and then struggling again against the Giants.
Well, it's not the first time that Izzo has had to apologize for scheduling hard in the past, although he hasn't exactly had to, but his players knew what they're getting into when they sign on for their scholarship at Michigan State. So there's going to be plenty of time to right that ship.
But no, if you're good, shoot for the moon. I mean,
yeah. I agree with you. David, I mean, I think overall his schedule was fairly balanced. I mean, his next 5 games after the Duke game will be Oral Roberts, Youngstown State, Tennessee Tech, Northeastern, Oakland. So I think it was just so front loaded with these huge games is the big problem that didn't have time to develop as a team. But I think they're going to get that now after this Duke game this week. David, let me stick with you for this one. This is because you're the under the radar guy here, and we did have one major conference team out in Alaska with Nevada, but they made the finals, lost there to Iona. Anything we need to discuss at all about this event?
Just that I'm a little disappointed that in Nevada, this is a team that we kind of thought to be one of the better teams, if not the best team coming out of the Mountain West, and they can't beat Iona. Iona, and again, if you're watching this, understand that we respect their program, just not this year's edition of it that much. They're sort of in major rebuilding mode, and the front runner or a front runner from the Mountain West can't beat them. That's a right. little different.
Well, not only that, they struggled with Oakland. They struggled with Buffalo. Yeah. Unimpressed by Nevada. And in my opinion, I think we're looking at a one-bid Mountain West again already this early in the season.
Now, that was another thing that Chad had retweeted last weekend is, could this possibly be the final Great Alaska Shootout? Because if that's the case, then we also need to applaud Alaska Anchorage for at least getting one final win in this event, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I hope that it isn't. And I always like to make the joke of why can't this tournament get good teams? You know, the Bahamas get good teams. Hawaii gets good teams. The Paradise Jam gets good teams. You know, Cancun and all the. I mean, what does Alaska? What do those places have that Alaska doesn't have?
Well, I'll tell you, actually, David,
I do like this event.
They don't have snow angels.
Yeah, it's one of the older ones. It used to be one of the premier ones. I'd hate to see it go away altogether. I really would. Well,
David, the big thing here is actually the amount of money that's paid to these teams to come to these events, and Alaska cannot compete with these other tournaments like the Battle for Atlantis and the like to the programs. And the problem is that the funding to Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska system is being cut by the state, which may decrease the amount of money they have available, so they're talking maybe not of getting rid of the event, but maybe cutting it down to a 4-team event or something smaller.
Yeah, and it's been 4 teams before, and they don't really have the TV deal. They don't have ESPN like they used to, so there's literally no money coming in. But as an under-the-radar guy, I like this event. I like that it's a chance for maybe not NCAA tournament caliber teams, but good teams nonetheless to play in an exempt tournament. And I'd hate to see it go away altogether. But it might.
If you were following this on TV this year, CBS Sports Network had all of the games in the championship portion of the bracket, but none of the consolation games.
Right. And John T., let's move on beyond that to a tournament that actually did matter, the Advocare Invitational and the performance here by the Zags. John T.
Sure. If I can just go back though, very quickly for Izzo's apology. I am dead set against it. I don't think Scott Drew is apologizing to his players for scheduling Oregon, ECU, Michigan State, Louisville, and Xavier as 5 of his first 8. Obviously, he's 6-0 and Izzo is not. But I think it's a cop out. I love that Izzo's covering for his freshman by taking some of the blame, but I totally disagree that he should apologize because I think you should schedule and just play what you got. Moving on to the Advocare, thank you for that. Gonzaga, Iowa State was fantastic. You will see these teams in March, hopefully against each other deep in March, because it was a fantastic game that went right down to it. But one thing I'm going to remember, sadly, is that Dick Vitale, I think, has lost a little off his fastball. There was under a minute left. They were coming out of a timeout. The Zags had the ball. He predicted that they'd throw it inside to Karnowski to run the offense through him. And Mark Few left Karnowski on the bench. So that's sadly going to be my takeaway from the Advocare.
Yeah, it is a shame to see that Dick Vitale, who's been, you know, from pretty much my entire life has been this voice of college basketball, getting up there in age. Matt, the third place game here saw Florida beating Miami. We also saw Stanford picking up 2 wins by knocking off both Indiana State and Seton Hall. Your thoughts on any of those 3 teams and what you saw from them?
I think actually this could be some bad news for Miami in that these were chances for them to beat high major legit tournament potential teams. They failed. They don't have much left on their non-conference. And in the ACC, man, like, they might be the one team that cannot afford a 9-9 ACC record. I think just about all the other ones will have the wins to where 9-9 of the ACC gets them in. It might not Miami given their lack of non-conference schedule and this is their opportunity here in Orlando, not taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I was also a little disappointed in Seton Hall's performance, only picking up a win over Quinnipiac and Stalica. Indiana State, what a hard luck story. Three heartbreaking losses in this event.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking for Indiana State, but I just think it's complete bullshit that our resident Rutgers alum is going to be crying over a Seton Hall's lack of success in this tournament. Come on.
I'm not crying over it. I'm just discussing it. I thought that they'd be better than that. But other than that, David, let me turn to you.
Seriously, though, Indiana State did put up a very good fight, particularly on Thanksgiving Day against Iowa State. I mean, they had numerous chances to put that one away, but couldn't seem to adjust to a number of charges that were called against the trees in that one.
Yeah.
David, the Wooden Legacy, I don't believe that you are on the UCLA bandwagon heading into the season. Have we converted you yet?
Well, no, I was. I mean, I may have said differently on the pod, but I've been beating UCLA's drum all this time. So, like UCLA, it's difficult for them to go all the way out and play in this tournament, you know, traveling to it and, beating these teams. I don't know. I mean, in all seriousness, what did UCLA looked better than I thought they would. They had some decent wins, but they haven't done, in my opinion, anything to warrant being ranked as high as they are. They didn't blow away Nebraska, but they did beat them. They didn't blow away A&M, but they did beat them. I concede that they're better than what I was giving them credit for, but I still don't think they're 12th or 10th or whatever they are.
Well, they've got a huge test coming up on Saturday when they go to Rupp Arena at Kentucky.
Yes. Now, if they win that, then they'll have my attention.
John T., we also saw here Virginia Tech picked up two wins, Texas A&M picked up two wins. Are these tournament teams at this point, or at least what you've seen so far?
I think Virginia Tech is too early to tell. The team that beat them on Friday, Texas A&M, man, I want to put them back in the tourney just because their game last year was the most memorable of my entire life and the most insane finish we'll ever see. They kept UCLA close. Holding the Bruins to 74 is a huge accomplishment. The Bruins were averaging like over 100 points a game, so a huge accomplishment. They've got great players in E.J. Hogue and Tyler Davis who were high school teammates together. Great story that they went, they stayed in state and are turning the Aggies back into a powerhouse. I don't think I'm ready to put them in the tourney just yet, but my gut says A&M will make it, but I think Virginia Tech is going to get squeezed out only because the other half of the ACC is going to make it.
And Stalica, very quickly here, being our Ohio guy, even though they picked up two wins, Dayton's wins were over Portland and New Mexico, and a loss to Nebraska. This was not a helpful tournament for the Flyers, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a time of year when the Flyers don't seem to have the healthiest of rosters either, because we already knew that Cunningham was going to be out for 2-3 months, and now Kendall Pollard missed out on the tournament here, and his absence was certainly felt when they lost to Nebraska the other day.
This is a snake-bitten team. I mean, they just keep getting hit with injuries.
We have a couple more tournaments here, and David, I'll bring this next one up for you, the NIT season tip-off. We can see the results right there on the screen.
Yeah, and I mean, again, great, great showing by New Hampshire. The team of the people, winners of this year's NIT, Go Dancing or Die, rank UNH. I was a little disappointed that no one voted for UNH again this week after they won the NIT. And how we figure this is they were 3-1. Temple was 3-1. Not only did UNH win the head-to-head, they won at Temple. Case closed.
Yeah, Florida State was also 3-1. Doing a little round robin between the three of them. Florida State 0-1 and a little mini tournament between the three. So obviously the team of the people, New Hampshire Wildcats, wins the NIT tip-off.
All tiebreakers.
But let's talk about the actual bracketed event games, though. John Titel, you've got some Philly ties as well, and Temple Owls. knocking off not only Florida State, but then West Virginia, one of the most surprising results of the week.
They are. It's hard to say if they are for real or not when you lose a home game to the team of the people. I mean, I know that's a big trophy on your mantle just to get the chance to play New Hampshire, but you got to get it done at home. Obviously, beating Florida State and West Virginia back-to-back, very impressive. They can beat St. Joe's on Wednesday, yet another tourney team from last March. And, of course, the huge matchup against Penn on Saturday.
Well, Matt, what do you take away from West Virginia after they looked so good until that loss against Temple? Matt.
Matt must have fallen
David, how about you?
honestly, I'm still at a point, and I realize that they don't have a whole lot of meat on their profile yet. I think they're a good team that had an exceptionally bad half, probably didn't show up ready to play. I think it's more of an anomaly than it is a statement to them not being good. I still think West Virginia is a very good team that just had a really, really exceptionally shocking tire fire of a half.
All right. Let's look at a couple other events here. John Butler looking pretty good in the Las Vegas Invitational, including we'll get to John T's comments on this in a second. But let me start with yours on Butler and Vanderbilt getting the third place in the Las Vegas.
So are we addressing John S. first or John T?
Yeah, you first on Butler.
Now, Butler certainly did look impressive because I did have a chance to see them in person against Northwestern, where they got the buzzer beater from Kamar Baldwin to beat Northwestern. It did seem to be a pretty harbinger of good things to come. The win against Vanderbilt was to be expected, and we now know why the odds makers were actually making Butler a slight favorite for the championship game and the Las Vegas Invitational. As the puppet has alluded to in the past, it seems like every time we're ready to write off Butler as a serious NCAA contender, here they are back in the top 20.
Well, and John T., the other half of this, your team, the Arizona Wildcats, are you worried about this loss, or was it just that good of a Butler team?
I'm actually unfamiliar with the game you're speaking of. I was busy on November 25th watching my Arizona football Wildcats destroy the hated Sun Devils.
Territorial Cup.
I had spent no time watching the basketball because I was all about the football that night.
Okay, then we will actually, I think we do have Matt back here.
Yes,
Butler beat him.
Matt, we do have you back here. Let's quickly talk to you during the Emerald Coast Classic. Anything you take away from Memphis' third place finish? Because I don't think there's anything we need to talk about with Virginia with this competition.
The one I will say is I think Providence gave Virginia by far their toughest game so far, and I don't think Providence is quite enough to make the tournament because some people decided to play for Kevin Ollie instead of Ed Cooley. I don't know why, but hey, it's happened. But I think they are going to be a pain in that they're going to, I'm going to say go something like 7-11 in the Big East, but there's going to be a lot of close losses among those 11.
I should also apologize to some of the Providence fans who may have heard our Big East preseason podcast. I think I mistakenly referred to Ryan Fizikas as a former Nevada star, Nick Fizikas. So my apologies to the Providence fans.
I've been surprised by Providence. I agree that they might not be all the way into the tournament, but they're certainly not 9th or 10th like I thought they were going to be. They've played hard, and they've been fun to watch.
David, let me stick with you for a second here as just as a quick score update for all you fans. Missouri did lose at home today to North Carolina Central by 10 points.
A double-digit loss to a 4th, 5th place team. Oh, that is
– the Barclays Center Classic. Maryland maintained their perfect record by barely getting by Richmond and barely getting by K-State.
Yes, they needed over – like in regulation, they outscored their competition by a total of 1 point in this event. It was spectacular. I was actually really impressed with Richmond. I think I was more impressed with them than disappointed in Maryland. It's a game that Richmond could have won and maybe arguably should have. But still, Maryland gets it done. They're still unbeaten. I'm not really – totally believing in them yet, but they've won all the games they've played, I believe.
Well, we see the Savannah Invitational, more of an under-the-radar event, won by Akron. And I believe this is the last...
The best game by far in the Barclays Center this weekend was not a bracketed game.
Yeah, we'll get to that one second here. But let me turn to the last event here, the Global Sports Classic. John T., we mentioned this TCU team knocking off both UNLV and Washington to win this event. Is TCU something after what you saw in this event? I don't want to call them good, but something at least.
Yes, they are something, and that something will be determined soon enough. They were 12-21 last year, so to make such an immediate turnaround, you got to give Coach Jamie Dixon a whole bunch of credit coming in there from Pitt. Their best win so far by 13 over a disappointing, frankly, Washington team at a neutral site. They play the Huskies again on Wednesday at home. It'll be interesting to see how they do against a team with a star in Markel Fultz and a team that's out for revenge that's coming into their arena. I'm interested to see how the student body reacts or if they're all going to be busy studying for finals or something. That will be a true test. If TCU can beat Washington twice in a month, I will believe they're real. If not, I think they're a fraud.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn off the screen share here for a moment. I do want to discuss a few other games. And Sleek, let me start with you. You just brought it up. The South Carolina Syracuse game and the Gamecocks winning that one as well. You have been a big fan of South Carolina for years, as we all know. your thoughts about them now that they are sitting here with a couple of very nice wins this past week, Syracuse and Michigan.
You got to hear some of Frank Martin's post-game commentary. One of the first things he did was, while they were on their flight to Brooklyn, he was actually watching some of game tape from Kansas State's loss to Syracuse back in the 2012 NCAA tournament. That was one of the instances where Martin actually admitted he had made a rather tactical coaching mistake as far as how he approached Syracuse's 1-3-1 zone when he was at Kansas State. So he was able to adjust accordingly with South Carolina's personnel. They were able to defend much better this time and actually led from tip to buzzer in this one.
Yeah, and so very impressed that South Carolina definitely making getting those non-conference wins that you need. David, another team sitting here undefeated is USC at 6-0. They were in the tournament last year. Best win is they did win at the A&M team that we discussed already. Are you impressed with what Andy Enfield's done so far?
Very. Surprised and impressed. Last year, they were coming off of two really underwhelming years, and we were kind of thinking that Enfield's seat was getting hot and then it just wasn't going to happen. And they had an amazing year last year, spent a lot of the year in the rankings and made the NCAA tournament as – and we're wearing white in that tournament or yellow or whatever their home uniforms are. This year we thought, okay, complete rebuild, complete reset. Here they are 6-0. The win at Texas A&M was really good. They also have a pretty good win against a good SMU team. They're a lot better than what I was expecting them to be. It's not like they got to 6-0 by winning six home bye games. They've gone out and played real teams. I was a little surprised they got so little love from the voters this week, but not that that really matters. If they belong in the top 25, they'll certainly get there soon enough. But, they're one of the teams that I am most surprised by this year. Them, South Carolina, I don't want to say Baylor too much, although they're probably really successful, and Butler being another one. I think they're one of the bigger surprises of the year so far, SC.
Well, John T., something that's not a surprise is that Kentucky sitting here at 7-0 after the win tonight. But John Calipari came out with some comments yesterday saying that he wants some close games. He doesn't want to keep blowing everybody out. He wants to test this team.
Be furious.
Do you think he's that serious, or do you think that, you know, hey, this is Kentucky, they got to beat everybody by 30, and that's all there is to it?
I think he is serious because that's how you learn what your team is made of when you have a one possession game in the final minute. I assume he expected that from Michigan State. Too bad that Izzo's troops couldn't comply with a 69-48 shellacking on my birthday. I think that the UCLA game this Saturday will be much closer. You better not sleep on the Valpo game on Wednesday. I think they should win it, especially playing at Rupp, but Valpo I think is for real. And then the schedule heats up next month, December 17th, neutral site Carolina, December 21st at Louisville. We are going to see exactly what this team is made of. They are not blowing out Carolina and Louisville back-to-back.
Right, and remember, they do play Kansas again at the end of January, so they'll step out of conference one more time. So,
and that's atrocious that they match those two up. That isn't the SEC team.
Well, David, I was going to go to you next, but still let me go to Matt here.
You need to find the mute button on your new controls, Chad.
Matt, the Indiana Hoosiers, we talked about it on our Under the Radar podcast earlier, but at the end of last week, but went to Fort Wayne and lost. Do you think at the end of the day this is going to hurt Indiana at all?
Slightly, but not that much. And I know it's going to probably scare other Big Ten coaches or high major coaches from playing games like this, but I hope it doesn't. It's one thing. You went to a team that's probably roughly around 100, one of the favorites in their league. And I say, whatever. You say, okay, in the end, you lose on the road, or at least technically on the road, to a team that's going to be, say, like a 13 or 14 seed in the NCAAs, quite possibly. I don't think there's that much to be embarrassed by that. And listen, it may be, say, if Indiana's right on the border between a seed, it might be the tiebreaker against them, but I don't think it'd be much more than that.
Yeah, and they've already beaten Kansas. John T., do you think that it's going to have this effect here of, Indiana lost to Fort Wayne, nobody else should go and schedule games like this? I mean, Virginia doesn't. They normally win the game. Just to give one example.
I hope not. I love these kinds of games, especially because the thing that's going to stick with me was not the loss, but if anybody got to see not even the press conference, just the post-game, hey, coach, what do you think, with Coach Kaufman right after the win, it was amazing. He went on for like literally 2 minutes straight about like praising Coach Crean and the whole Hoosier Nation for coming to Fort Wayne, both to give his team a chance to see what they're made of and prove themselves to the committee with an amazing non-conference win, as well as just for the city, like the excitement and the revenue and the everything. And Fort Wayne is a really good team. So far they've had 5 home games this year, 5-0, obviously. Indiana stands out as the cream of that crop. If you look at their schedule in 2016, last season, they only had 1 home loss all season, 2 points. This is a good team with a huge home court advantage. Obviously, the Hoosiers should have won the game based on talent, but they didn't.
I got to get it.
We're also talking about other under-the-radar rivalries for next year. Xavier fans are looking forward to renewing their corn sword rivalry with Northern Iowa next December.
Okay, yeah, David, you had a point to make.
Well, I mean, Indiana lost the game, but I think it would be a shame if what people took away from this is, we can't play games like that. We have everything to lose and nothing to gain. If people see the big picture, I think they're going to see that Indiana really didn't lose much of anything. They have the win over Kansas. They have the Big Ten schedule in front of them. These games are rare, but we've seen teams lose before. Virginia went to Green Bay and lost, ended up with a 1 seed. Louisville went to Western Kentucky and lost, ended up with a 1 seed. It isn't even that unusual. It doesn't happen more times than not, but it does happen. And teams don't lose everything. North Carolina went to Northern Iowa last year and lost. They turned out okay. So, no, what should be taken away from this is you can play these games. They're winnable games. And if you win them, you get a road game. You get more than double the credit of what you would get had Indiana played them at home. But if you lose, your season's not over. It sucks in the moment. It might suck for a couple days, but it isn't going to define IU's season at all. It's going to fade into the background, and by February, no one's going to care.
Well, let's go through a few other teams here at this point. John T., you provide this list here. Currently, after Minnesota's loss this evening, there are 11 teams left in the nation that are undefeated that missed the NCAA tournament last year. There's more than 11 undefeated teams, but these are the 11 teams that were not in the NCAA tournament last year that are undefeated at this point. And I'm going to run through them fairly quickly with each of go through you here and kind of ask the question of, are these teams for real or are they frauds? And going through them alphabetically here, we're going to start off with Creighton. And Matt, Creighton, is this team for real?
Oh, absolutely. I loved them going into the year and have seen nothing to dissuade me from that love. And in fact, Justin Pan's a little bit better than I thought. Kyrie Thomas is really good. Like, might not make all conference Big East this year, but say a year from now, with Mo Watson gone, he might take more responsibility. And then, you know, Creighton, top 15 team, maybe not top 10, but something maybe that 10 to 15 range. And I think we'll be a protected seed in March.
Right. Does anybody want to argue that they're a fraud?
They are for real until the middle of February, and then they will become frauds.
Right, Dave, let me stick with you for a second. Houston, for real or a fraud?
Somewhere in the middle. Real in the sense that their program is trending up, and somewhere in the middle.
Ty, you were shaking your head. What's your thought on Houston?
Kelvin Sampson's best win is by 1 point against Vermont at a neutral site. This is a fraud.
Fraud is the vote on Houston.
By under the radar standards, I think they're for real.
Stalika, the Ohio University Bobcats, for real or fraud?
I'm going to go ahead and say for real for now because, again, they're undefeated and they're also the only team that's won a Georgia Tech so far. So they did cash in. Take advantage of one of the chips that they had to cash in to really have a shot at an at-large. I mean, they're still going to be tested in the MAC when they face teams like Akron, Kent State, and Buffalo. But for now, I wouldn't go bet against Saul Phillips and the Bobcats.
Tytel, you're smiling at that one, too. Want to call them a fraud?
I kind of want to call them for real, actually. They won 23 games last year. They made it to the CBI and won two games in the postseason. They won at Georgia Tech. It's early, but I think they might even go undefeated in non-conference play because their hardest game is at Iona.
And I agree with you. I mean, I'm the one that called the MAC as a two-bid league heading into the season. So, obviously, I've got to agree.
They are for real.
Stalika, the – I'm sorry. Let me go to Matt on this one. I'm waiting for the last one. Matt, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I am actually say fraud. It's a little bit of a reversal from what it was going into the year, but those are some fairly non-convincing performances in that. And I'm thinking, I guess maybe if they're seventh place to the Big Ten, that's not too far off where I thought they'd be preseason, but now not. Not undefeated Big Ten team that's probably close to the rankings. I don't feel that right now. And their KenPom has actually dropped from 13 to like 28.
I got them at 21 at the moment, actually, but in KenPom.
I mean, it hasn't been the best day for
– that must have been the post-Marshall game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know it hasn't been the best day for Ohio State, which we'll probably get to a little bit later on. But let's not discount they also had a pretty good win against Providence earlier in the year during the Gavitt games. That's suddenly starting to look a little more significant than we thought.
Well, let's keep going. I think the jury might still be out on Ohio State. We may learn out a lot of them coming up Wednesday night against Virginia. But alphabetically next, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Let me go to the only person that could give a comment on this, John Tytel. The rest of you are barred.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you're not going to you either. Let's go on to the St. Mary's Gales. David, St. Mary's.
For real. Oh, wow, for real. I mean, they haven't really beaten a heavyweight yet, but they've looked really, really good against some teams that aren't good but aren't crap either. I mean, UAB is somewhat decent. Nevada is somewhat decent, and they beat both of them like a drum. I think they are for real. I think they're not 12th or 11th, wherever they're ranked, but they're top 25 for sure.
Does anybody want to argue that St. Mary's is a fraud?
And they also won at Dayton and were actually winning pretty convincingly at one point.
Yeah.
Ross do not win at Dayton Arena like that.
Right.
Matt, South Carolina.
I'm going to go for real on this one. I think they took a nice step up last year, and I think they're poised. They're taking another step up. And you have a guy like Sidarius Thornwell was a top 50 recruit at one time when he came in. P.J. Dozier was a top 50 recruit. And I think there's enough other nice pieces around them that I think Angry Frank has a team that I would say might be like right at the bottom of the top 25, which would be a nice jump from where they ended last year. And I think come tournament time, I expect to see like a 6 or 7 seed.
Yeah, don't forget Dwayne Notice in the backcourt as well, but another player that's also McKee in the frontcourt is going to be Silva, who is another young guy that Angry Frank has been very high on.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced on this team. I want to call them a fraud. I can't overlook the wins. I can't overlook Michigan and Syracuse. I just can't do it. So I think that their resume is going to be a lot better than the team is. At the end of the day, I think they lose in the first round of the tournament, but I think they are an NCAA tournament team at this point.
He said it, not me.
David, Jamie Dixon's TCU Horned Frogs.
I'm going to go with fraud. I mean, they're off to a good 6-0 start. I think that that's amazing. They have a lot of energy around them, but I just can't see them competing at an NC. Like, once they get in the conference play, I can't see them keeping this pace up. I say fraud.
John T.
I'm leaning fraud. I think as of today, it's uncertain. I think the test is going to be next week at SMU. If they can beat the Mustangs in Texas, I'll be a believer. Other than that, I think that there's just not enough meat on the schedule. Even if they beat Washington in back-to-back games, it's an off year for Washington so far.
Washington is a fraud.
David, John, and Stalico, you both discussed the next team with me on our last Under the Radar podcast. Let me throw this over to Titel also. The Tennessee State Tigers out of the Ohio Valley Conference.
This was a 20-win team last year. When you beat Middle Tennessee by double digits, that looks great. We will see how good they are to determine their fraudness tomorrow night. They go to a little school called Vanderbilt to take on.
They'll beat Vanderbilt, I think.
But, and they're real, and if not, then not.
We'll learn a lot on December 19th also when they go to another little school named Duke. But
Yeah, but if you saw my bracket on the website today, I'm a lot more convinced of what Tennessee State has done so far than I am with Belmont and Murray State in the Ohio Valley.
Absolutely. Matt, the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders.
See that I just found out they were undefeated. I think I'm going to go with fraud. Yeah.
Does anybody want to make a case for this team that I think does have one of the top players in the Southland Conference whose name just slipped my mind? John T., you could probably know this better than I. Rayshawn Thomas is an incredible talent there, but I think he's the only player worth anything on this team. But your thoughts on them?
The way you can tell if somebody is a fraud is by looking at their home wins. Our Lady of the Lake and Jarvis Christian equals fraud. Fraud.
Okay. Last and certainly not least, the UCLA Bruins. Matt, your thoughts on them? We already heard from a couple of the others about on them.
Yeah, I'm going for real. I think Lonzo Ball transformed, but also TJ Leaf, kind of like the modern day four men go inside, outside. And I think what Henry Ellenson thought he was, that's what TJ Leaf really is. And now they also got the other big guy, which I think is going to play a factor, Ike Adebiagu. I'm going to probably butcher that, but like a shot blocking center, I think complements you. Like Leaf, a little bit of a finesse guy. Even Thomas Welsh is a finesse center. But throw in another, like shot blocking, who for you need a defensive stop in that. And then combine Lonzo Ball, Isaac Hamilton, Aaron Holiday, Bryce Alford. It's a real nice backcourt that all of them can do just a little bit of everything. I think for real, right now would be my pick to win the Pac-12, and I think nothing else will be top two in the Pac-12. With I think Oregon gets it together, but I think, them and UCLA will be top two in the Pac-12.
John T., he didn't mention the word Arizona in there.
So that's because, this is UCLA's conference so far. With apologies to USC, who's doing great across town in L.A., the Bruins have been scoring at will against everyone. I'm a little concerned that their scoring has gone down each of the last four games. But when you start off with 114 against Long Beach State, there's nowhere to go but down. I don't think they can beat Kentucky at home. If this was a veteran team, I think that might give them a little of an edge, although Kentucky looks unstoppable. And the fact that UCLA stars like Lonzo Ball and TJ Leaf are freshmen. What I'm interested to see is the Big Ten challenges next month. They host Michigan and then Ohio State at a neutral site before they get into Pac-12 play. That will teach you a lot about this team. I agree. I think they're the favorite to win the conference, but I don't think the Kentucky game is going to be the measuring stick. I think it's going to be the Michigan and Ohio State games next month.
All right. Well, let's get into a couple of the other things that are coming up this week here. If I can put my screen back on here, I think it should be showing up now. And we'll go to another screen here with the ACC Big Ten Challenge is going on this week. As we know, Florida State's already taken the 1-0 lead. Wake and Northwest are battling as we record this, but we've got coming up among the huge games this week, Georgia Tech, Penn State, Miami, Rutgers. Oh, but seriously, David, we've got Syracuse at Wisconsin. We've got Iowa at Notre Dame. We've got Michigan State at Duke, and that's just tomorrow night to start. That's just Tuesday night's games.
Yeah.
We've got some amazing games here coming up this week, I believe.
Right. I've been way more – I like the Notre Dame-Iowa matchup. They don't regularly play. I'm glad that they got matched up. But this year, I've just been much more impressed with Notre Dame so far than Iowa, who's great program but sort of in rebuilding mode. Michigan State, I think their struggles continue tomorrow against a Duke team that's winning despite being without three of its better players. If they ever get healthy again, watch out. And you know, the big game tomorrow is that Georgia Tech Penn State game. you know,
but we've also got the Pitt Maryland game tomorrow, which is pretty interesting.
Into the Bryce Jordan Center.
Matt,
Party fans take heart, because this was about the time when Indiana was getting clobbered at Duke last year.
Matt, we also got – I think this game Syracuse at Wisconsin is just as interesting tomorrow night, if not more interesting.
Well, that's one of those I'd be rooting for a meteor to hit the court. But now that they're actually playing, this is actually a huge game for Wisconsin, and I think they need a quality win. It's at home. It's probably their best opportunity. They lose this, and say they lose at Marquette, which I think is going to be about a toss-up game. They lose those two, and suddenly you're looking at it's going to be a fairly thin resume. And look at Indiana last year. Indiana came back to win the Big Ten, but because of what they did out of conference, they only got a 5 seed. This is, I think, a must-win game for Wisconsin.
And just as a point of reference here, the teams that are in italics here are the home teams. It's so if you have a little trouble reading the screen here.
I'd like to just reiterate that Chad went on the record to say Syracuse at Wisconsin is a bigger game than Georgia Tech Penn State.
Thank you. We've also got coming up on Wednesday night Purdue at Louisville, Virginia Tech at Michigan, North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio State, Virginia. John T., how about the slate of games on the second night? Or the third night, I guess, would be technically.
The Wednesday games are going to be fantastic. The one I'm looking forward to is Tar Heels going to Assembly Hall. The reason I'm looking forward to it is because Indiana is now on alert after the loss to Fort Wayne, as well as the underrated part of – I don't think that Assembly Hall in recent years has been thought of as a very difficult place to play. Trivia question, gentlemen. How many home games did the Hoosiers lose last year?
Was it zero?
Zero. Down Tar Heels.
Yeah, about these, like Louisville, Purdue, North Carolina, Indiana, you're looking at games against two teams that are likely to be protected seeds, and these are certainly the kinds of wins that end you up there. And even if you lose them, it doesn't necessarily talk you out. But on paper, a little more of a pivotal game, despite it being so early. How important is this game for both Virginia Tech and Michigan, do you think?
I'd agree with you. I think this is a even more so for Virginia Tech, I think. I think Michigan, with what they did in the 2K Classic, despite the loss, it's a loss at South Carolina. It's not going to hurt them very much. And I don't think this loss really hurts them too much either at this point of the season.
Right, yeah.
I think a huge game for Virginia Tech, and I think it might be a little bit of a tough matchup because, like, Virginia Tech roster-wise, pretty similar to Marquette, where one big guy, a few wings, and a guard and that, and I think Michigan had a lot of success with that lineup because DJ Wilson, 6'10", moves like a guard, but can play like a big man, and I think that's going to be a tough matchup for Vitek and Chris Clark.
I'd argue that the game for Michigan is going to be more important because they're not going to have quite as many opportunities for signature wins in the Big Ten as Virginia Tech will in the ACC.
I think the bigger game that I'm looking forward to Wednesday night, no one's really talking about, mentioned this one yet though, but and David, no, it's not Nebraska-Clemson. But this Ohio State game at Virginia, I think Ohio State can win this game, really put themselves on the map here.
Well, you think they can?
I'm not arguing that
they will be on the map if they win this game, but Virginia is just There's kicking ass and taking names, and then there's kicking ass and not even bothering to take names.
But
that's what Virginia has been doing.
But Virginia's done it against Iowa and Providence and Yale, and I mean they have not done it against Ohio State, which is this next level of competition.
I think they do it against Ohio State. I think they clobber them.
Very quickly here, we do have another challenge series coming up this week. Most of the games being played Saturday. The Missouri Valley Mountain West Conference Challenge. Our chance to talk Mountain West hoops for the night. David, go for it. The entire challenge.
San Diego State at Loyola. Loyola off to a really good start this year, at least record-wise. I think that there's still a lot of uncertainties about both teams. I could see them having a hard time winning that game on the road at Loyola Chicago. Northern Iowa going to Wyoming. Northern Iowa's kind of hot and cold. They looked pretty good in that tournament for the most part, but did not look good at all against Xavier on Saturday. Wyoming can be a tough place to win. Air Force is out to a good start, but I think that they're kind of fraudulent. Yeah,
but my biggest question here is you're matching up these two conferences. Where is the San Diego State-Wichita State game? Why isn't it there?
That's a good question.
I just want to I'll pull this down here because I don't think we really need to spend too much time on the Missouri Valley Mountain West.
You just made the one salient point about that, Chad. Yeah. What the heck are Wichita State and San Diego State not playing each other? Why?
I just want to quickly go through a few other games of note here that are coming up this week. We've actually got a couple of Big Five games coming up, including Villanova Penn and Temple St. Joe's, but coming up on Wednesday evening, another game we did not mention, John T. St. Mary's on the road at Stanford. Big game for the Gales here?
Huge. It's nice to see them getting out and trying to play some good competition. Not that they have had a cakewalk so far. I mean, Dayton at home, like Stalika said, is legit. Stanford, too early to tell just because they are, I think, very different from last year. They were missing Reed Travis for most of the year with an injury. Now he's back and he's great. Stanford 6-1, their only loss, neutral site to a decent Miami team. And the good thing for Stanford is that I don't think they'll be looking ahead to Kansas because St. Mary's profile is so high. I think it's a tough one to pick. I'll go with the Gales just because I think this is a special year for them. But it's going to be tough.
Stalika, coming up Thursday night, we haven't mentioned the Cincinnati Bearcats at all yet, but they're at Iowa State in another very interesting game.
Yep, because Iowa State is also coming off an impressive runner-up performance in the Advocare Invitational, and Cincinnati got off kind of a disappointing start with the loss to Rhode Island and then had a somewhat bounce-back win against Penn State. I mean, they also had a bye game against Lipscomb over the weekend, but this is going to be the first major bump in terms of competition for the Bearcats and also another chance to avenge what was, I think, one of about 300 heartbreaking losses they had last year.
Yeah, Matt, do you have a pick for that game?
Yes, I would go on record. I think Cincinnati goes to Hilton. I know not many teams do, but I think they go there. They need this game.
Well, lots of teams go there.
I'm still not sold on this Iowa State team. I know they had a nice comeback against Gonzaga, and then they did pretty much handle Miami, and a surprising result for me that I think probably soured my thoughts on Miami, but it boosted my thoughts on Iowa State.
All right. Friday night, David, Alabama's at Texas. A big game for both teams.
Yeah, and again, Shaka Smart, if you've followed him, even back to the VCU days. November is just not his month. I know that this probably isn't correct, but it seems that way, that half of his career losses have come in November. Alabama, again, trying to get some sort of statement wins on their profile. I think Texas is about to snap out of whatever it is funk it is that they're in, and I expect them to win pretty easily.
Well, the good news is Friday will be in December.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We already mentioned the big UCLA-Kentucky game coming up on Saturday, but John T., a couple other big games on Saturday include Oklahoma's at Wisconsin and also West Virginia at Virginia.
Chad, you've missed a big one. Okay. Valpo Rhodey. And I know that not just by under the radar standard.
Yeah, okay, I'll go back. Let's go back to that one second. Let me start with these two on Saturday. And you're right. I did skip over that.
With all due reference to the other John, the only game on Saturday is going to be Gonzaga, Arizona from the Staples Center. I really penciled in that day to watch the Pac-12 title game. Since Arizona didn't make it in football, I figured I would enjoy the basketball game. I think it's going to be an amazing game. These guys played a classic last year where Arizona won on the road despite being a little shorthanded. They've played tournament games that have gone double overtime in the past that have been classics. I expect nothing less. I wish my Cats were at full strength, which is why I think they're going to lose, unfortunately. But they always have a huge crowd in L.A. and a good track record in March against them. Obviously, this is only December. It's going to be a fantastic game. But how about Xavier Baylor?
Yes, we got Xavier Baylor. David, you also tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Rhode Island at Valpo. You wanted to mention that one, too.
I think that, well, first of all, I think it's two tournament caliber teams, at large caliber teams in Rhode Island and Valpo. The two played last year. This is the return game. But the reason it's so significant is because of the limited chances Valpo has to build their profile to, in my opinion, reflect how good of a team they actually are. It's early. It's still November, but they must win that one tomorrow.
And John and Sleeka, going back to coming up on this Saturday, Xavier at Baylor, your thoughts on it?
Well, we've already seen Villanova get a signature win at Purdue, and this will be Xavier's first chance in a true road game coming up. We'll see if this is a team that is worthy of possibly winning the Big East or whether they're going to be fighting for second place and protected seed at best come NCAA tournament time.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot of good games coming up on Saturday. We've got BYU-USC is the second half of that doubleheader after the Gonzaga-Arizona game. We've got a game here, Matt. Oklahoma State's at Maryland coming up on Saturday night also.
Yeah, it's a big time. Feels to be like bubble showdown. Both right now, I think, just hanging in the 50s in the Ken Poms, and that's right in ball territory. I think Oklahoma State has been the better team, but we'll see. Yeah, that'd be one. I kind of like the Cowboys in the Juwan Evans, Phil Forte backcourt.
And with all due respect to Tytel and calling the importance of that Arizona game against Gonzaga being the most important game for the state of Arizona on Saturday, David, Louisville's at Grand Canyon.
On campus, not in the NBA arena, but on campus, visiting the former team of the people that we still love. Grand Canyon struggling tonight at home, at least they were the last time I looked in on it. But big, big, big showcase game for them. I'm sure they're all sold out. I'm sure it will be a great atmosphere. The two played last year. Louisville won pretty convincingly, but you got to applaud Louisville for going into this game. I do think Louisville's going to win it, but this is not an easy game to win. It's a lot harder to win than what the casual fan probably realizes.
And there are a lot of games I don't want to – I'm sure I missed a few of them, but one last one I want to hit. And, Matt, I want to throw this over to you coming up on Sunday. Marquette's at Georgia.
Yeah, as I said, we just talked about bubble with Oklahoma State, Maryland. This really feels like a bubble one that Marquette probably needs a touch more. And that they blew the Pitt game in the 2K Classic. And that interesting matchup of, yeah, Georgia, pretty good defensive, kind of slow-paced team. And Marquette running the court, just put up 100 in the last two bye games. And a big opportunity. I slightly favor Marquette, even though that might go against the odds a little bit, where I think Georgia's going to be a 1 or 2 point favorite.
Well, on that note, I want to go through each of you here for any other final thoughts for the evening. John Sleeka, let me start with you.
Yeah, I think we were going to have a little bit of fun with both Ohio State and Michigan, but given some of the current events at Ohio State's campus this morning, it just wouldn't seem as appropriate. So definitely our thoughts and prayers are with the Ohio State community after their campus lockdown and numerous injuries on campus.
Yeah, it was a real sad and a real scary situation today, and just our best wishes to anybody that was involved in that. Matt, yeah. You're next.
All right, it's going to be tough to follow up on that. but I will say that, like, getting back to basketball here, I'm going to say a shout-out to the SEC, which I know doesn't happen much on this podcast, but Florida, really good week. South Carolina, really good week. A&M, pretty good week on the wooden, beating Va Tech. Now, all of a sudden, like, the SEC, it's small steps by looking like them and saying like a four-bid league, which still not great for a high major, especially one with 14 teams, but better than last year's three, which one of those three was a play-in. I'm thinking of those four, look like they're all in and might all be in with single-digit seeds.
All right. David.
Yeah, every year I complain and complain and complain about the lack of big games, too many bye games, the slow start to the season, the lack of enthusiasm, the half-empty arenas. And I don't know if it's just my imagination, but I don't get that feeling this year. Like, the interest has been high, the arenas have been full, the games have been great. I think we've seen already six or seven games that featured two top 15 teams, and we're going to see at least one more. I forget where Arizona is in the rankings, but maybe two more this weekend. We normally go through an entire season and we're lucky if we get 10 out of conference matchups that match teams ranked that high, where we've already seen a lot. And I don't know, I kind of wanted to ask you guys this. Am I wrong, or is this just a fantastic start to the season so far?
I gotta say that I think I'd agree with you there. I think we've seen more of these high-caliber matchups this year than I remember, although maybe I just don't remember much about November.
Right, yeah.
Once we get to March. But, John T., any other final thoughts?
Sticking with the preseason tournament theme, I was so impressed. I thought the three best tournaments were going to be Maui, Atlantis, and Advocare, and I think that we got three great champs in the Tar Heels, Baylor, and the Zags. I expect those teams to be playing deep into March. It's going to be because of their coaches and their players, but also because they were tested very early in the season against high-quality competition and emerged victorious. Keep your eye, North Carolina, Baylor, and the Zags.
And my final thought is, I know Matt threw some love out to the SEC. I really thought that the Big 12 was going to be after Kansas down this year. Looking at the standings right now, nobody other than Texas has more than one loss. Texas sitting there with two losses. We still have a pair of undefeated teams here. If you look in KenPom ratings right now, Texas with their 3-2 record, 66 overall in KenPom, that's the worst of the entire conference. So the Big 12 really proven me wrong and really showing that maybe it did not lose as much, from what we've seen so far at least, as we thought it was going into this season. But on that note, on behalf of John Titel, Matt Zukowski, who are down there, and John Sleek and David Griggs, who are off to my sides if we're doing this right, Chad Sherwood, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.